As you're at home right now, I just want to encourage you, begin to receive right now what the Holy Spirit's releasing into you, just like you were here live. There is no distance that can keep you from receiving what the Holy Spirit has. I know worship was powerful. I could feel His presence palpable here. I was looking at the chat online through the stream, and everybody was just being able to put stuff out saying that the Holy Spirit was touching their homes. And we believe that's going to become the norm. When we meet in person again, here's what's going to happen. You're, during this time of preparation, going to be learning to host the presence of God in your home just as if you were here. And I believe that's one of the things that the Lord is shaking up, is He's been prophesying about how important family was in order for the kingdom and for revival to take place. We've been talking about, leaders have been talking about it, and the Lord's doing what we couldn't really do on our own in terms of planning. He's really forced the issue, utilizing the plans of the enemy. He's forcing the issue so we can come to this place and say, hey, my home, my house is a place of the living God. It's a place where the presence of God abides. It's a place where the presence of God remains and lives, because we're meant to see a worldwide harvest. There's so many prophecies about a billion-plus soul harvest, and this is the beginning of it, because it's forcing the church outside the four walls. And it's not a ministry event that we're doing. It's not some initiative that we had to put out to get people beyond the four walls. It was really the Lord saying, I'm going to take what's happening in the earth, and I'm going to allow my Spirit to disperse the people. And when I read through Acts, there was this point for a number of years that after Pentecost, that the church was gathered in Jerusalem, and it was necessary because the Lord was adding people, those who were saved from all over the Roman Empire. And so they had to come into this place of being born again, but then the apostles began to disciple them into the kingdom. They began to receive the kingdom, and they were not residents of Rome at that time, or Jerusalem at that time. They were spread out, had come in for the Feast of Pentecost. And then there's this moment where, when persecution hit the church, that the church was dispersed. And what that really means is they went back to their homelands. They went back to where they had came from, and so that the gospel could begin to spread out. And what I want to tell you is that it feels like there's a persecution that's happening. Don't ever worry about what the plans of the enemy are. Always know that it's His kingdom come and His will that's being done. And He uses the enemy like a pawn to be able to carry out His purposes. And you can see that throughout Scripture. And so as you're dispersed right now into your home, into your neighborhoods, it's very intentional on behalf of the Lord, because He wants to do something in you and through you to reach your neighborhood. And it's disconnected from a church program. It's because you are the church. And what I would say is, if you like programs, you're the program of the Lord in your neighborhood. Come on. You need to get outside and begin to prayer walk your neighborhoods. You begin to look for opportunities to be able to do it. Many of you guys may live in a neighborhood. I know in our neighborhood, we have a Facebook page for our neighborhood. And up to this point, that Facebook page has been filled with complaints, and there's some jokes and stuff like that. But most of the time, it's for people to air their grievances. And what I'm telling you is, I think there's an opportunity for you to go on that Facebook page and say, hey, I'm a believer in Jesus. If anybody needs prayer, let me know. I'm here. I live at such and such address. If you need prayer, just know you can come by, knock on the door. If you just want to message me, if you're on Facebook, they could private message you what that prayer request is. So I believe that God is doing something strategic. And here's what's going to happen. As you and your home really learn how to be the priests, let me hear you say priests, you learn to become the priests of your home, where the presence of God comes into your home. So it's no longer just about you, but it's about your home. It's the atmosphere of your home. What's going to end up happening is when we begin to gather in public, the fire that you've been hosting at home is going to be added to all the other fires that are going to come back into this place. And I believe we're going to see an explosion, because God is on the move. Repeat after me. God is on the move. He's on the move in your life. He's on the move in my life. He's on the move in the city. He's on the move across the planet. And it's important for us to be able to take this pause from meeting in person so that we can meet with Him in person, and God's going to do some good things. So I told you earlier on, we're not going to do it right now, but we're going to be taking communion at the end of this message. And so make sure that you've got that. The worship team, we've got these handy-dandy two-in-one cups, so we'll be taking communion here in a while. But if you have your Bibles, here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to three passages of Scripture. Here's another thing I love about coming to you in this format, you've got to have your own Bible. You can't be relying upon the words coming on a screen. This is about you with the Word of God inside of your hands. And so make sure you have your Bibles with you. If you're using YouVersion online, that's fine as well. But turn to Psalm chapter 91, Psalm chapter 91, and put a marker there. Turn to John chapter 15, put a marker there. So Psalm 91, John 15, put markers in those locations. And then after you do that, go up to Hebrews chapter 12 and leave it open there. I'm going to start there here in a second. And as Pastor Chris was talking to about the email addresses, the way you can connect, in the description of this live stream, you're going to find those email addresses. You're also going to find a way to be able to give online. It's so important during this time that we bring our offerings and we invest in what the move of the kingdom is here. And so we're so blessed with you. If you like to write checks, our address is 2002 Spur Street, zip code 78130 in New Braunfels. 2002 Spur Street, New Braunfels, Texas, 78130. You can feel free to go ahead and write a check if you want to do that. But there's also easy ways where you can do that online, where you can give online, and we'll make sure that we give that as well. So to dial today's message is going to be the importance of remaining in Him. The importance of remaining in Him. This is the fourth week of a message. Last week, Corey Pittman did an amazing job talking about four keys, four kingdom keys, and followed up with how communion is a kingdom key. And I believe it's important for us today to continue utilizing that kingdom key of communion, which is what we're going to do here. That communion is one of those major keys to be able to remain one with Him, to be one with Him. A couple weeks ago, I spoke to you about thinking with God, that it's not just thinking the thoughts of God, but you have to begin to think with God, His thought process, the way He processes the world, the way He processes reality. We're called to think like Him and think with Him in an active moment. And during this time, as the world is panicking and going crazy and toilet paper, you can't even keep it on the shelves, which is just interesting to me. While fear is the way the thought process of many is right now, it's important for us to be a kingdom-minded person that comes and I think with God, so I bring the reality of His kingdom with me, where peace and love come instead of fear. Remember, He doesn't give you a spirit of fear. The reason the writer of that used that, a spirit of, is because our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not even against this virus, to be real frank. It's against the principalities that are in the second heaven that are trying to disrupt life on the planet. That's the devil's main goal, is to disrupt life. How do I know that? John 10:10. The enemy does not come except, let me hear you say except to steal, kill, and destroy. What is he trying to do? He's trying to steal people's faith and their peace and their self-assuredness. He's trying to kill people physically as much as kill dreams. He's trying to kill the economy. He's trying to do many things like that. He's trying to rob from you, still kill, and he's trying to destroy any hope that you may have. But Jesus says, but I came to give you life and life in abundance. Right? So what the enemy does is he wants to destroy the abundant life that God has for you. And it all comes in the way that you think with God is going to be this place. So when you find yourself in a position of fear, we must immediately begin to turn this into a place of, wait a minute, this is a spiritual battle. I'm not in a soul battle right now. I'm not even in a physical battle. This is a battle that's in the spirit realm, because God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. What's the implication? He didn't give you this little spirit, but he did give you a spirit that's powerful, that has a sound mind. You have the mind of Christ, right? You have the ability to rationalize with the Holy Spirit. So he gives you power, a sound mind. He gives you the ability to move into the things that God has for you. And so remember, during this time, it's a spiritual battle. So we must always come back to this place of spirit, soul, then body. And when we begin to do that, no matter what's happening on the planet, I think it's interesting. You read through the martyrs of the Old and the New Testament, but especially the New Testament, where they're being brought before people to persecute and kill them. And what stirred up inside of their hearts was actually faith at the moment their bodies were going to be killed or their life was going to be taken from them. They had come to this place where they understood that their battle is not against the flesh and blood, but their battle was in the spiritual realm. And then in the spiritual realm, they were actually already victorious over the little spirit of the devil. Because we are seated with him in heavenly places. That when Jesus ascended up on high, he sat down at the right hand of his Father, not because he was tired and weary, but because he had accomplished what was necessary to place humanity back into the place of spiritually walking victorious so that the planet, the physical realm, could actually come underneath the kingdom of heaven. So we have to remind ourselves in these moments. So we must remain in him. Let me read this. Hebrews chapter 12, you should have that open in the Bible with you right now. And I'm going to start in verse 26, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. I'm going to go verse 26 through 29. It says this, "When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth." Let me hear you say, the voice shook the earth. Right? We have to understand that when God speaks, there's not a minimal impact of when God speaks. Right? As it is in heaven, it needs to be here on the earth. So from his position as king over all the universe, from the throne of heaven, he spoke into the earth, and the physical ground shook. Okay? Listen to what this is saying now. It says, but now, let me hear you say, but now. So that's saying, in this time that we live in, I understand the writer of Hebrews was talking to them, but this is also for us now. But now he makes another promise. Listen to this. Once again, remember, we just sang that song, do it again. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. What he's saying is, in that spiritual plane of the second heaven, the things that have had influence over the way people think, over arts, over entertainment, over all these things, we can look what's going on and say, oh, well, the coronavirus shut down NFL, NBA, MLB, hockey, all the sports. It shut down going to movies. And we could say, oh, that's the coronavirus. No, what I'm telling you is the Lord has used that to shake that because it's actually the principality that's been influencing the mountain of arts and entertainment that's being shooken. Not just the sport itself, because that would accomplish maybe a little. It's about coming up to this place and things that have influenced the way people think for entertainment, for media, for news, right? Think about our government has been shaken to a great extent. Even the politicization that was taking place 3 weeks ago has begun to wane in a great extent because this cannot stand in this time. There has to be a coming together. The church itself, those theological arguments that maybe we caused us to distance from one another. This last week, I was at the Ministerial Alliance here in New Braunfels, and it was a beautiful time. We had lunch, and this is before the governor had put out his proclamation of 10 or less. So there's about 35 to 40 pastors from around the city, a very diverse theological background. And every time I go to that, there's always love in that room, but there's also always been a distance because we're kind of look at each other and go, I know we believe a little bit differently. But let me tell you, when I walked into that room at Rudy's, that distance went away. Why? Because he shook the church, the stupid arguments that caused us to separate so we could come back into this place the same, but we're in union with Jesus. We're going to take secondary things and we're going to put them lower so we can put up the primacy of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And in this time, we need each other. We need to pray for one another. We need to be the voice as shepherds in this city. We need to make sure we're unified. So the Lord is shaking things in a way that previously had remained unshaken so that it could influence what's going on in the earth. So let me read this verse again. I'm going to start with verse 26. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth, but now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens too. Verse 27. This means that all of creation, let me hear you say all of creation, okay, so that means everything, will be shaken and removed. Let me hear you say removed. What's he removing? Anything that's not his kingdom. All of creation, and I want you to think about this, is if you've ever picked up a rug, an area rug, that people have stepped on and you begin to shake it or you begin to hit it with a broomstick and stuff like that, what happens? Everything that's not the rug begins to fall off. All the dirt, all the grime, all that stuff begins to come out. You begin to shake this thing. Why? Because you're shaking out what was not the rug. And in the same way, what the Lord is doing, he's taking creation and he's taking what the enemy meant for evil and he's shaking it up. So what's falling out is everything that was not his kingdom. Because look what it says. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. Let me hear you say remain. See, it's important that we remain in him. Verse 28, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable. Let me stop on that. We are receiving. Repeat after me. If you're born again, repeat this after me. If you're not born again, it's time to get born again today. And that's just mean you're making him, the unshakable king, become the king of your life so that your life is moved by the unshakable kingdom. You can do that today by just saying, yes, I give up rights to my life so I can follow you. But if you're a born again believer, say this with me. I am receiving a kingdom that is unshakable. Say it one more time. I am receiving a kingdom that is unshakable. And look what it says. Let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. There is no fear in love. So this is not fear that he's going to zap you. What this is you realize that he's the unshakable creator. He's the unshakable king that his voice alone creates. The devil can't create a single thing. He can only manipulate and make it worse. But what the Lord does is he's speaking things. And so we must come to him with fear and wonder, going like, oh my God, you really are who you say you are. That this thing that's happening in the earth right now is not shaking you. It says, verse 29, for our God is a devouring fire. That means his love devours everything that stands in the way of his love. Let me say that again. He's a devouring fire. That means his love devours anything that stands in the way of his love. And he loves you enough to devour the things in your life that are standing in the place of his kingdom and standing in the place of love, but it requires your participation in it. He wants to come and do that, but he still has made you powerful. And so it's his choice for us to remain in him. It's our choice to be able to step into the things that are kingdom. And so everything that can be shaken is being shaken for a purpose so that the kingdom remains. So during this pause right now of us public meeting, and I understand, I don't want to come to this place and saying that what's happened with people dying is not part of God's plan. It's not. Like, his desire was not for death to take place. It never has been. And so we need to pray for those who have lost loved ones, and we need to be an answer of comfort to them. But at the same time we're doing that, we must take responsibility for what? The real estate that's within our hearts. Your spirit, your soul, your body, your mind, your will, your emotions. You must take responsibility for this because the Lord is going to be asking this question during this pause. Are you seeking my kingdom first, my righteousness first before anything else? Because what he's doing is all that religious stuff that we may have done in the past is going to fall by the wayside. And on the flip side of this, this revival, this awakening of a billion plus souls that's coming is a kingdom revival. When Jesus was resurrected and he spoke to the disciples, and it wasn't just the 12 or the 11, it was a much larger group of people. We know he spoke to over 400 people at one point during this time between his resurrection and the time that he ascends in Acts chapter 1. And what did he talk to them about? The kingdom of God. Reminding them everything that he had told them and put it into context of the kingdom of God. See, we're in this place just like it was where Jesus has ascended, and there was this 10-day period between the time he had ascended and when the day of Pentecost took place. I was with my good brother, Tim Darnell, this week, and we were just talking about this, and he just says, man, I think we're in that 10-day waiting period. We're in this process of seeking him, waiting him, learning to remain in him. We're learning to that our Lord has left us, but we're not really alone because he promised us he was going to send another, the Holy Spirit. And so we're in this place waiting for him. We're in this upper room learning to say, Lord, we want you and nothing else. That last song we just sang, nothing else matters. I believe that's what they were unified over. It wasn't about how they were going to go do things. What it was is we're unified behind this thing. Nothing else matters other than what Jesus told us. And we're going to wait for this thing. And all of a sudden, boom, the day of Pentecost happens. And then a worldwide revival began on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people being saved. And it began to go from there and there and there. They were empowered to the signs, miracles, and wonders. But it came from this place of nothing else matters, abiding in an upper room, waiting for God to move. And now we're in the same place, aren't we? Except for the beauty of it is we've received the Holy Spirit. So we're in this pause. We don't have to wait 10 days to receive the Holy Spirit right where you're at in your home right now. If you're born again, say, I am. Then that means that you might have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, but you need to be continually filled with the same power, the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit right now. And so I just see it. There's fires that are falling on every single home, every single car where you're sitting right now. There's people, you're receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the first time right now. You're also receiving, if you received it before, you're being filled again. We're in this place so that when the pause period ends, we're going there forward to preach the gospel of the kingdom, making disciples of all nations in our local city, in our region, in our state, in our nation, and to the ends of the world. That's what's going to go around the planet right now. There's some of you that are watching. I know we had somebody tie in from South Africa on Wednesday night during our prayer time. There's already people, you're positioned at places around the world right now that when this waiting period's over, the Holy Spirit's going to come, and he's going to empower you to make disciples of the kingdom of God. Somebody give me an amen, because that's good news. Like, we're not waiting for the quarantine to end so we can go back to life as normal. I don't want to go back to life as normal. I want what God has for us. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm not saying that I want it to be all crazy and weird. What I'm saying is I always want to position my heart to what he wants, because what he wants is better than anything else. Like, some of us needed to be shooken up so we could get out of this place of fear and doubt and shame and trembling and all these different stuff, so we could come into this place, a beloved identity where we know we're sons, we know we're daughters, so that the unshakable kingdom of heaven could be established into the earth. Do you know why he's wanting to do this? You've always been part of his plan to establish the unshakable kingdom on the planet. He's not coming back to do it himself. He's already sent his Spirit to live inside of you to do it. And so there's a reason this pause is happening. And what this comes into is we have to learn how to remain in him. Once you open up to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And we're going to pick up in verse 1. I know I was going to preach on healing, but the Lord told me this. He says, if people don't know how to remain in me, healing will be temporary. We have to learn how to remain so we can step into the next things. But John chapter 15, verse 1, I'm reading now the NIV version, says this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll be even more fruitful. Let me stop on this thing real quick. A lot of times, this can be a hard verse. We could go, well, I'm in him, it means I was connected to him. But if I'm not bearing fruit, does that mean he's going to cut me off and just throw me in the fire right now? No. There's a day where unproductive branches that have been set apart from him, there is no life in them. Those branches will be put in the fire. But when you look actually at the Greek, I was looking at a commentary and it was talking about this. A lot of times a gardener, what he'll do is he'll take an unproductive vine, he'll cut it off, and he'll begin to attach it to a different vine, graft it into a bigger vine to be able to get health into it. Or what it could happen is if I really came in through an emotional experience to the kingdom, really when I said yes to Jesus, I wasn't really making him Lord in my life. I was just really saying, I need to get out of this current circumstance. And you weren't really connected to him with life. That's going to be set by the wayside. And what's going to happen in this coming revival is going to be those branches that were cut off because they didn't produce fruit are actually going to be regrafted back into the vine, because they're going to be this invitation of people being into the rooted vine. But look what it says on this next part, though. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Let me hear you say prune. I've told this story before, so my wife is at home with her kids, and she's going to laugh about this. But I remember years ago when we lived in our previous home in New Braunfels, we had this large tree that was in our backyard. And I came home one day, and I look at this thing, and it looked like Edward Scissorhands had come and just completely obliterated this bush. And I walked in, and I told my wife, I said, "What happened to our bush? Did somebody, you know, vandalize this stuff?" She goes, "No, I pruned it." I'm like, "You what? Looks like you killed it." And she goes, no, trust me. I said, okay, you're the one with the green thumb, so I'm going to trust you. How many people know that several weeks later, that thing was blooming like it had never bloomed before? It actually began to grow in a greater level. And so sometimes in this pause period, what we're going through is the Lord is saying, you have produced fruit. You're connected to me. If you're connected to me, you can't help but to produce fruit. The branch that's connected to the apple tree cannot help but produce an apple if it's connected to the root system. And so in this heart, when you're in him, you're going to produce fruit. But the Lord doesn't want to produce just a little fruit. He wants growth in you. He wants to be able to take things that maybe aren't kingdom right now. Maybe it was an old word that you had, and you're still living according to that old word, and it was good in its season. But he's saying, I want to do a new thing in you. I have to prune that off of you so that I can actually produce the new life in you that's bigger than what was previous before. And so we have to come into this place of pruning. A lot of times where that happens, it comes into our thoughts, comes into our belief systems. It comes into the way we even do church. How many people feel like you were pruned? The church is pruned this week. I know I'd rather have people right here in front of me, and I'm grateful for the worship teams here right now because I don't feel like I'm alone, right? But I would rather have this place full of people right now, but it's been a pruning this week where the Lord's going, what is really important? My desire is that every member, every person who's a part of the Legacy family, every person that's part of a kingdom family would become fruitful where I plant them, not just when they come to church. And so I think the Lord is doing something. Look what it says, verse 3. I love this word. You are already clean because of the words I have spoken to you. In Ephesians chapter 5, I think it is, where it talks about husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. One of the ways it says it, and it says he cleansed her by the washing of his word. And so during this season, it's so important for us to receive the word of the Lord that cleanses us. The very thing that the Lord is wanting to prune out of your life is going to come by as his word comes over you, and it challenges your thought patterns, it challenges your feelings, it challenges your beliefs. I like what Ben Shapiro says, facts don't care about your feelings. And I just think about that. The word of God cares about you, but he cares more about what he wants to do in you, less than what you feel in the moment. He's wanting to bring you into this place to where you are fully in Christ, because Jesus feels, doesn't he not? I mean, he wept when he saw his friend Lazarus died, but he knew what he was going to do. So it's not that emotions are bad, but we have to bring those emotions even into the king's emotions. And what he does is he takes these things that have happened in our past. Maybe there are things that are disappointments. Maybe there are things that where we thought we were going the right direction and we encountered kind of a traumatic experience where it feels like we got a roadblock. And what he does is he's going to begin to wash you with his word from the effects that those things had in your life, because he wants to do a new thing inside of you so you can be fruitful. And as long as we're bound to those old things, we're never going to be able to be fruitful with the new things. So it says this, you're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me. Let me hear you say, remain in me. Remain in me and I will remain in you. If you're reading from the New King James or maybe the New American Standard, it uses the word abide. Let me hear you say abide. I like this word remain because sometimes abiding is not necessarily a word that we use on an ongoing basis, but what it means is to live in life union with him on a constant basis. If we are one with him, remember this whole series started because it says, as the Father and I are one, you and I are one, so that the rest of the church could be one. But it first begins in this life oneness with God. And so when we remain in him, when we look at these promises, is if you're a branch that's connected in him, you have to remain in him. That's why he uses this analogy. A branch that's not remaining connected to the source will wither up and die. That's why you don't have to worry about being cut off and thrown on the fire if you remain in him. Sometimes people go, oh my gosh, what if he doesn't like me? No, he loves you. Stay connected to him. Stay connected to his word. Stay connected to worship. Begin to transform the way you think. Staying connected, and you'll never have to worry about when those other branches are thrown on the fire, because you remain in him. So remain in me and I'll remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, listen to what it says. He will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. That's again talking about the judgment at the end. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. Listen, what this is what he's saying, okay? This is not just about your moral behavior. That's going to come. That's part of it. You'll behave like Jesus behaves if you remain in him. But listen to what it says. It goes much beyond just transforming you. It's so the world can be transformed. Listen to what it says. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Ask whatever you wish. That means your prayers are powerful. That means your worship is powerful. That means that it's not about your will being done. It's about his will. But to remain in him means you've prayed out this prayer, I seek the kingdom of God in his righteousness above all else. And then his answer is, I will add all things to you. If I do it out of order, I'm like a branch that's disconnected. I can stir up things separated from the branch, from the vine for a little bit. I use self-effort. I can use my own wisdom and thoughts. I can use the giftedness that God has given me. I can look spiritual for a period of time. But if I'm not remaining in him, that thing is going to wither away and die. And what he's saying right now is if you just remain in me, my words will come in. I'm going to live in you and you're going to produce much fruit. It says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Listen to what it says. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We're not looking for converts. We're not looking for converts. We're looking for disciples, people who are following Jesus. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Isn't it amazing that one of the keys to remaining is obedience? Not out of religious obligation, and let me tell you this, not out of fear. If fear is your motivation to obey God, he'll honor some parts of that, but you actually won't remain in him because you're afraid. Let's put it this way. If you're afraid of him, that he's going to strike you down, why would you even be connected to him in the first place? No one that's afraid of him like terror, like because you're afraid of punishment, can remain connected to the vine, because that would be stupid, right? Because you're actually remaining to the one that's going to do you harm. But he's saying, look, if you love me, if you know me, if you're connected to me, you're going to know my love, you're going to receive the love, and from that place, obedience is going to flow out of your life. What we're looking for is obedience out of love. It's born out of remaining in him through obedience. So when he says, pray for that person, go pray for him. Don't question, oh, is this some religious thing? No, go pray for him. Obey your Father. If he says, hey, get up early and pray with me. It doesn't matter if there's a church program or a worldwide fast going on. It's not about those things. It's about, Father, I hear your voice. I'm your son, and I'll do what you say to do. And he says, hey, wake up early with me this morning. And you do it. Sometimes I love when I've heard this. Literally, I've heard this. I want you to sleep in this morning. I love those moments. That's a word I can obey. Because he's wanting me to rest, I can be so busy about going about doing and being so self-energy driven that I've got to go out and do these things that he says, you just need to rest. So sometimes obedience to him looks like not the things that you're doing, but you answer that Mary and Martha question. I could be busy doing things or I could remain at his feet and rest because his word's going to wash over me. It's this ongoing daily relationship. And this is the thing about it. Because it's not religious, it's relationship. That means that he's going to build you up according to his purpose and plans, not a church's purpose or plans. It's not going to be some blueprint of someone else to make you his disciple. It's going to be him speaking to you and growing you into disciple. And you have to be connected to one another. That's a part of this thing. But it's about you hearing his voice and walk with him in obedience to what he's calling you to do. Look what it says here. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. If Jesus remained in his Father's love by obedience, what does that mean for us? Verse 11, I've told you this so that my joy, listen to this, I've told you this. What did he just tell us? Remain in me. Remain in me. You're the branch. I'm the vine. Stay connected in my love. Remain in my words. Remain in my beloved identity. Remain in me so that this, look what it says, my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. If you've ever found yourself absent from joy, and it drives you crazy because you come into a church environment and people say, well, the joy of the Lord is my strength, brother. You just need to be joyful. And you're like, man, I'm so tired and weary. I don't know what to do. This isn't about your ability to stir up joy. This is about your choice to remain in him. And in the place of remaining in him, the joy that Jesus carries becomes your joy. So I don't love the world according to my love. I love it with the love that he has. And the joy I walk in, it's not even my own joy. It's actually his joy that remains in me. And I get to live out of his joy. So I truly can do all things through Christ who what? Gives me strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So if you feel like you've been struggling this week and you're struggling to try to generate joy, stop it. Don't try to generate your own joy. Remain in him. Remember his promises. Remember who he is. Remember what he said about you. Remember how amazingly good he is. And remember that you're one with him. And not just are you one with him, you're one in him. You're connected to him and he is in you. And now it becomes this beautiful thing. Whoa. There just becomes this beautiful thing of the joy of the Lord just becoming my strength. Not because I generated it, because he pours it out of my life. Says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I've loved you. Now we're getting down to the brass tacks. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Here's what I'm going to tell you dads out there. We'll talk to the ladies in a second. I want to talk to you men right now. It's time to lay down your life. It's time to lay down your life and come into him. Remain in him. It's time to become a beloved son. It's time for you to rise up to be the spiritual leader that God has made you and designed you to be for a time such as this. And it's not going to become you perform. It's not because you have some religious thing figured out. It's not even because you've all of a sudden, you know, stop doing bad stuff. It's because you came into him and you began to lead from this place of beloved identity. What I'm going to tell you is those that God has placed in your life to follow you will follow you because they see you remaining in him. That the joy that the Lord has for you is inside of you. That the love that he has for you is inside of you. And you then begin to learn to lay your life down and you play with your kids and you engage them. I've been tired this week. And I've come home and I had to be intentional to say, my son is wanting my attention. My daughter's wanting my attention. And I need to lay my life down right now. The joy of the Lord swells up inside of me that I have son and daughters that I can play with and I can engage with. It's time to do that. And so as I began to play with them, as I began to engage with them, guess what? The love that was in me, that I got from him, began to swell up inside of them. So you're at home right now and I love you guys. This is the life. Men, stand up. Be accounted for as sons. Lead during this time, not with fear, but with love, power, and a sound mind. It's time for you to do that. I believe that God's going to do something amongst our men in a way that even Promise Keepers was only a foretaste of what he was going to do. I believe it's time for this. That's why the men's advance is so important. We're going to do a different thing, but we're going to lead you into this place of being a spiritual leader. So I'm going to come to the men probably this week with a special Zoom call. I think Albert's got his the next week, and we're going to begin to press into that. I no longer call you servants. Listen to what it says, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. Everything that Jesus received from his Father, he wants to make known to you, because you're not a servant. You're his son and you're his friend. And in that place, you get to understand the plans of the Father. And then from that place, you're a servant. And I've said this before, and I think it's really important. And I want to be careful in the way I say this, because I don't want it to be misunderstood. But I don't believe servant is an identity. I think it's the overflow of our sonship. Jesus served the people in his life from the overflow of his relationship with his Father. Here's why servant cannot become your identity, because if servant's an identity, you're doing it out of religious obligation and it's performance. But when you come to this place, I'm his beloved son. I have no problem picking up trash. I have no problem wiping down tables. I have no problem loving on the people around me. Why? Because I'm his beloved son. And Jesus loved me. So I'll lay myself, my life down, and so I can serve others from this place of sonship. And that's the same thing that you're called to. And that's the other thing I would tell you. If you've got questions during this time frame, what am I going to do? He's going to do two things. He's going to show you the word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. He's going to show you sometimes just the next step or two. And then sometimes he's going to give you a vision for the path that you're going down. Wherever you find yourself into that, receive the light of the revelation of what he's given you, because it says this, my Father wants to tell you what he's doing, because you're my friend. That's Jesus. You're my friends. I want to reveal to you what the Father's doing. So come back into this place of beloved identity. And look what it says. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask for. In my name. Isn't that amazing? The promise of Jesus is if we remain in him, the prayer requests that become on our hearts, the things that we desire, end up he does for us. Why? Because when you remain with him, his desires become your desires. And it's easy for him to fulfill his own desires. And we're meant to walk in him. This is my command, love each other. So remaining in him means remaining in life union with everything that's about him, his thoughts, his beliefs, his feelings, his faith, all these things. I remain in him. And here's the key. It doesn't mean that you're not going to face trials and tribulations. In fact, let me read out of James chapter 1, verse 2 real quick. Consider it a great joy. James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it a great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, listen to it, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But endurance must do its complete work. The New American Standard says, let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. And so we're facing trials and tribulations. It's an opportunity for you to remain in him, and it's going to produce a perseverance. What's this perseverance? It's endurance. It's learning to keep your faith engaged in the fight long before you feel like you can do it. It's learning to keep your faith engaged in the middle of it. You're praying for somebody and somebody didn't get well right away. Don't stop praying. Keep your faith in the fight. Why? Because it's the faith of him. It's not your own faith. You're to have the faith of God, not just about God. The demons have faith about God and they tremble. They believe that he exists. We're called to have the faith that Jesus operated within the planet. And so when you go through a trial, he's pruning those things out of your life that once held a place of influence and how long you would keep your faith in the fight. I really believe that. I believe he's pruning things in your life that influenced how long you would be willing to keep your faith in the fight. But as you learn to remain in him, what you're going to find is there's nothing that's impossible for him, which means there's nothing impossible for me. I can keep my faith in the fight for eternity because he's the one that's empowering me. And so we need to look at these things that are shaking out. And so what I want to challenge you is we're going to take communion here in a second, and then I'm going to read Psalm chapter 91 over you guys with this perspective on it. What we remain in is a choice. What we remain in is a choice. So here's the question. Are you willing to remain in fear? Or are you willing to step into him and remain in him? Are you willing to remain in an old pattern or lifestyle? Or are you willing to step into the things that he has? It's a choice that you have right now in this moment. And as we go to take communion, in fact, right where you're at in your homes, go ahead and grab that communion. Be ready to take it with us. It says, this is my body which was broken for you. It's offered up to you as a broken sacrifice so that you don't have to be broken. He's broken for you to be made whole. It says the juice, the wine, was the sign of the new covenant so that the blood washes us clean, white as snow. This is what the communion does. It says, do this in remembrance of the power, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's all encompassed in this Eucharist. It's all encompassed within. And maybe you're using grape juice. Maybe you're using real wine. Maybe you're using a cracker. That's not the important part. What's important is do you understand that in this moment, I'm doing something in remembrance of him? And so when we receive communion, here's what I want you to do. I want you to begin to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. In fact, right where you're at, why don't you go and close your eyes and bow your heads. I know I can't see you, but it doesn't really matter. If you love me, you'll obey me. I know, it's funny. If you will begin to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what areas am I remaining in that are not your kingdom? What belief systems? What lies? What fear? What are those things that I've been remaining in, even though I'm born again, that are not your kingdom? Remember, the Holy Spirit convicts. You know what conviction in the Bible means? Convincing. Right now in the moment with the Holy Spirit, it's not shame, guilt, or condemnation. Because as you're not afraid of punishment, what it says is this, is that he's going to convict you of righteousness. In this moment, as he's bringing something to you, say, now, Jesus, in this moment, I willfully, by an act of my choice, my will, I lay that down so that I can remain in you. Just ask him to wash you now by the cleansing of his word right now. Those belief systems being washed away, those lies being washed away. Maybe it was an experience you've had that's disappointed you, or maybe you experienced real harm or abuse in this moment. And I'm not telling you that didn't happen. It did. That's why you need a real God that really does wash you and comforts you and brings healing to the real challenge that you're facing. It's time to stop remaining in those things and say, there's another choice. I can remain in Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior, who gave himself for me, whose blood cleanses me white as snow. Not just the things I did, but the things done against me. So I invite you, Holy Spirit, come and speak. Now, I want you to go ahead and look at me. If you have that, and that's in your mind, and you've done that as an act of faith, that you're breaking off from the old past. And here's the thing, I want to use this analogy of the vine and the branches. You might have some branches that are spurting off from you and those thought patterns, those belief systems. It's time to break those off and throw it in the fire. Those things need to be tossed in the fire so they never come back again. So when you do that, I want you to take the communion or your bread or your cracker and I want you to break it as a signifying those things being broken off and thrown on the fire and receive his communion, his body now. And go ahead and take your juice. This is the blood of Jesus that was shed for us so that we would be washed clean as white as snow. It's not just cleansing you from something. It's actually what you step into. You're going to remain in him from this place so his blood flows through your veins, spirit, soul, and body. So as you broke the past now, this is the sign that you are remaining him in Jesus' name. Let me, if you have your Bibles at home, go ahead and open up to Psalm 91. And I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation, but I really felt like as I went back and read this verse, a lot of people have been quoting this during this time because it's a really good verse talking about being in him. But we need to understand why there's safety and security. If in my Bible, the heading says safe and secure. We have to understand why we're safe and secure, because we remain in him, we're one with him. So listen to what it says. When you sit enthroned under the shadow of Shaddai, you are hidden in the strength of God Most High. He's the hope that holds me and the stronghold to shelter me. The only God for me and my great confidence. He will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy. He will protect you from false accusation and any deadly curse. His massive arms are wrapped around you, protecting you. You can run under his covering of his majesty and hide. His arms of faithfulness are a shield, keeping you from harm. You will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night, nor have to fear a spirit of darkness coming against you. Don't fear a thing. Whether by night or by day, demonic danger will not trouble you, nor will the powers of evil launched against you. Even in a time of disaster with thousands and thousands being killed, you will remain unscathed and unharmed. You will be a spectator as the wicked perish in judgment, for they will be paid back for what they've done. And that specifically is talking about the principalities and the rulers, the demonic forces. They're actually going to pay a price for what's happening right now. Verse 9, when we live our lives within the shadow of God Most High, our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm. How then could evil prevail against us or disease infect us? God sends angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. If you walk into a trap, they will be there for you and keep you from stumbling. You'll even walk unharmed among the fiercest powers of darkness, trampling every one of them beneath your feet. For here's what the Lord has spoken to me. Because you have delighted in me as my great lover, I will greatly protect you. I will set you in a high place, safe and secure before my face. Kind of sounds like we're seated with him in heavenly places. I will answer your cry for every help, every time you pray, and you will find and feel my presence. Even in your time of pressure and trouble, I will be your glorious hero and give you a feast. You will be satisfied with a full life and with all that I do for you, for you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation. I want to tell you one of the reasons I think that, another reason I think that he called us into this place of hiddenness, or this pause in a period of time, is his desire is that no disease would actually touch you. I've posted, when this thing first started, the John G. Lake story about him working with the bubonic plague and people that had been touched and impacted by that, and he wore no protective gear whatsoever. He was not infected. The doctors came and they go, how is it that you're not infected? And he says, I'm so convinced I live underneath the law of life in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you another way to say it. He knew what it was to remain in the life of Christ, so much so that the death around him could not touch him because he was remaining in him. I believe that when Jesus healed the lepers, he touched them and did not get leprosy. There's Peter and there's Paul and there's James and there's John and there's Andrew and there's all the others that laid hands on the sick, including lepers, and they did not catch the disease that they were laying hands on. Why is that? Because they were remaining with the one who brought life to them. It didn't touch them. And as I was praying through this, Lord, I said, Lord, I believe all of that. And yet there's this thing that was inside of me that was struggling with, Lord, there's still doubt that enters into my mind about this thing. What do I need to do? And he says, I'm going to prune that from your life. I think that right now it was his mercy that the church meets in the home right now. One, so the fire of God would burn inside your homes. But two, so that during this time you would learn how to remain in him and live according to Psalm 91. Because he's going to release the church on the world. And it's not just corona that people are sick with. There's the flu, there's cancer, all that other crap did not go away. It's still there. So we're coming out of this thing and our focus is so much on coronavirus, COVID-19, that we must not forget all the other stuff that's out there. And what the Lord's going to say is, on the flip side of this, if you learn to remain with me, you're going to walk with the same faith that John G. Lake did. And it's going to protect you. You're going to walk with the same faith that my son did. And it's going to protect you. And not just protect you, but you're going to bring healing to the people around you. We are entering into a healing revival because our world needs to be touched. And your tents of walking revival that are about to be unleashed on the world right now, And I believe this right now. So I want you to instead stop going, man, God, this is disrupting my life. This is disrupting my business. This is disrupting my plans. Stop it. This is time to say, Lord, I thank you for this divine pause so that I can reorder my priorities into your kingdom come and your will be done as it is in heaven here on the earth in my life. I'm seeking first your kingdom right now. And there is no other choice because on the flip side of this thing, what's going to happen is you will walk in the power that all things will be added to you. You can pray and it will be answered. The Father will answer you and grant what you pray for because his desire is to see a planet transformed. So I want you to pray for me. If you're there at home, I want you to go ahead and stand up with me right now. If you've been isolated at home with each other already, you probably could hold hands because you're social distancing with people and whatever you already had, you probably given to the other one anyway. So we're going to pray for healing in that. But I feel like we're just going to pray right now and we're going to thank the Lord and we're going to close out our service. I thank you for joining us with being flexible enough during this season to say that God did not want to do church as usual, that he wanted to do church in your home with his power and his presence. And we're so grateful to be connected to you as a kingdom family. So won't you pray with me? Father, right now, I just thank you. We give joy. We step into joy, Lord God. We step into wholeness, God. We just give you praise for your goodness, Lord. We thank you that this divine pause has allowed us all those things that were not your kingdom are being shooken so that only your kingdom can remain in us so that we can step into the world and bring your healing and your wholeness. I pray for right now, every person at home that is dealing with an illness, not just COVID-19, but any flu, cold, allergies, food allergies, injuries, needing for surgery, heart valves, arthritis, all those things, we just release now healing, the law of the love of Christ Jesus, now entering into every single home right now, touching these bodies. The promise of Psalm 91 is we run underneath the cover of El Shaddai, that we are covered by you. And we thank you, Lord, right now you're releasing healing into homes. I thank you, Lord, right now you're healing relationships. Lord, I thank you right now that you're also bringing supernatural peace into homes, Lord, that this next week it won't be trying to figure out what to do together, but instead that you're giving strategies for how to do family together in your kingdom. And there's going to be excitement. There's going to be joy of the things that are coming. I pray right now that all hopelessness will be crushed by the power of your name right now. I just prophesy right now, God, that you are moving in a hope movement inside the hearts of every single person, Lord God, that you're pushing out all those doubts and those fears so that only what you're hopeful for would remain, Lord God. I just say we claim the airwaves now, right now, Lord, that as all these churches are broadcasting on Facebook, we just thank you for the platform of Facebook. I thank you for the platform of Twitter and Instagram, Lord God, and some of these other things. We just thank you as the kingdom message is going out right now, that it's having a tangible impact on the CEOs of those companies, on the boards, on the developers. We just thank you for Google right now. We pray, right, you would move on the hearts of those people to actually make it easier for the kingdom message to get out, Lord God. And we just thank you for what you're doing. We just ask this right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. I love you very much. You guys have a great week.